This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Final hour of power as we get you geared up for our coverage of Washington Nationals baseball, the series finale between the Cardinals and Nationals coming your way. Pre-game coverage just rolling at 105. Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler will warm you up for first pitch. That's set for 135. Big Mac, Mackenzie Gore on the bump for the Curly W's, and we'll see whether or not the Nats can come away with a victory. They were losers by a score of 4-2 last night. And all of a sudden, if you're the Nats here, trying to avoid a series sweep against the St. Louis Cardinals. So make sure you keep it locked on the fan all afternoon long to hear Washington Nationals baseball. 2 hours into the program, we haven't mentioned the Burgundy and Gold once. And as we sit here on May the 11th, Mother's Day weekend, rookie mini camp just wrapped up. It wraps up today, a three-day session, and they'll reconvene in about 2 weeks or so for the start of voluntary OTAs where we see the veterans and the rookies on the field at the same time. So super excited about that. We'll let you hear from Dan Quinn, the head coach of the Washington Commanders, before we get out of here. But there are a couple of business items with the Commanders that I want to continue to reiterate here. One, coming out of rookie minicamp, I think, and I've said this a couple of times already, so if I sound like a broken record, excuse the hell out of me, right? They need help at safety, in my opinion. First and foremost, I think they need help at safety. How they get the help at safety, who emerges at that position opposite Quan Martin, I think is to be determined. I know a lot of people have penciled in Will Harris, the free agent acquisition from New Orleans, as that guy that's automatically going to just plug and play there at the safety spot. I don't think it works that way. First and foremost, you all should know better. What is the old Dan Quinn mantra that he got from Pete Carroll? Competition everywhere, all the time. So my starting safety tandem that I'm pulling for, right? I want to see Quan Martin and Jeremy Reeves pair up next to each other at safety. I think Jeremy Reeves is more than deserving of an opportunity to get regular starter reps on this defense. I know he's going to tackle. I know he's going to be physical. I know he's going to hit. What was the issue that Washington had last year defensively? They couldn't stop the run. I know one thing. Jeremy Reeves is going to come down in the box and lay lumber and not be modest or shy about it. But I know the coverage ability of Jeremy Reeves is something that people worry about. He could win that job. I think Kane Medrano is going to end up getting in on that job. I think Dominic Hampton. Now, rumor has it with Dominic Hampton that he's put on a considerable amount of weight. So I would think maybe he's ushering and moving his way to linebacker. I don't know if that's the case or not. But that's an interesting spot. Percy Butler is another guy that's consistently brought up. I say this all the time about Percy. I think he's the best gunner in the National Football League. On punt, badass. I just don't like him in the defense. I think at safety there is some work he's got to do to become a better player, taking better angles, tackling better, things of that nature. I think he's got the right mentality. He is a crash out. 100%. Love the mentality. War daddy on special teams. I think all of that is important and something that you need here. But I don't trust him to be the team's starting strong safety. Will Harris, brought over from the New Orleans Saints. I don't know how much I trust him to be this team's starting safety. And here's the thing. I think us as fans, Jeremy Chinn played 94% of the snaps last year. So to act as if he's easy to replace you're beside yourself. We'll see ultimately what happens, though. Gabe Taylor in camp, younger brother of Sean Taylor, maybe he emerges and is able to make this 53. So safety obviously concerns me. I've made that very known to folks. I think safety concerns me, and I look at defensive end as a position they're a lot more confident in than we are as fans. The other position I look at and go, man, this is a little bit tough. Not that this is a little bit tough, but that the fan base, rather, is off kilter with what they think internally. I said it yesterday on the show. I'll say it again. I'm not a betting man. I'm broke. But I had to put some money on it. Brian Robinson is the week one starting tailback for the Washington Commanders. If I had to put money on it, Brian Robinson is the leading rusher this year for the Washington Commanders. Fully anticipate him bouncing back from what happened last year. I know that he hears all the noise. I know that he hears all the scuttlebutt about you all as fans trying to replace his ass. Let's just be, you know, open, honest, and transparent about it. You know, like, I just am not sure. I don't know, man. Huh. It just feels like with B-Rob, we have written him off very quickly. And the thing I continue to, you know, caution people about when it comes to Jacory Kroski-Moret, Bill, as he wants to be called. What's up, Bill? I feel like it's so hard to gauge a running back in the offseason until you get into joint practices and training camp where the pads are actually popping. During OTAs, I can't tell how well he pass protects. I can't tell the pad level that he runs with. You can see some speed. You can see some burst. But outside of that, man, I don't know how much you're going to be able to learn about this young man this summer. I continue to feel like Brian Robinson is the guy. I continue to feel like Brian Robinson is going to bounce back this year in a major way. Now, the whole thing that I also consider is this when it comes to B-Rob. Will he maybe have a reduced role this year? Maybe. To this football team, 110%. That's where I think I've had a disconnect with some of you all out there as fans is like, a lot of you have written him off like he has no value to the team and like he's a jag and like he's going to get cut, things of that nature. The running game last year faltered down the stretch in part because of the running backs, but I think more importantly, the interior of that offensive line got their ass whipped at season's end. That's just how it went. Now, moving forward, things could change. The interior of this offensive line, I feel like, is greatly improved. The question is going to be, will they have more success running the football down the stretch as a result? We'll see ultimately what happens. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Running back interests me. The safety position interests me. The other thing that interests me is this. What happens at tackle? What happens at tackle? Josh Connerly Jr. was drafted to be this team's starting right tackle, I assume. Question I have for you all out there as fans, because I think it's a real possibility because I think they've got some improved depth there. Is it a disappointment if Josh Connerly isn't the week one starting right tackle? 1-800-636-1067. Here's why I ask that. I don't know who's going to get the first crack at it. Right? That's why camp, OTAs, all that is. That's why we get geeked up over stuff, man, because it's almost like investigative journalism when it comes to trying to figure out lineups, depth charts, things of that nature. That's kind of how I look at it, man. It's like, all right, well, the first five that you see out there, there's no guarantee that that's the last five that you see out there either. So you gotta know what you're talking about, I guess is the best way that I could ultimately put it. In that offensive line room, though, looking at Connerly yesterday, it's hard, like I said, to judge running backs without pads. It's hard to judge offensive linemen without pads either. One thing that did stand out, I didn't want to say it stood out, but I noticed it, and he looked fluid, moving his feet. We know he's a good athlete. We know he can move his feet. The issue that Josh Connerly, I think, is going to have or may have early is play strength. Now, the beautiful thing about the draft and the rookie's transition from college to the NFL, he's been in this weight training program here in Ashburn for about a week or so now, and you're going to continue to see him in this strength and conditioning program. It's May 11th. By August 11th, let's just say that, 3 months from now, how much stronger do you think Josh Connelly Jr. is going to be? Seriously, I think he'll be a hell of a lot stronger. So, yes, I have my doubts and my reservations potentially here about the play strength of Josh Connelly, but he's got 3 months to improve his play strength. I think he uses those 3 months to his advantage, and he comes back for training camp a much stronger football player. We'll see, though, how it ultimately plays out. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. Let's go to Mark DC. Wants to chime in. What's going on, Mark?
Hey, Linnell, I wanted to get your thoughts about Gabe Taylor, Sean Taylor's younger brother, and his chances of making the Commanders roster as a safety, since you were talking about starting safeties.
Yeah, he's a tryout player. I'll be real, like, the odds are very much stacked against him. I don't know if he ends up making this team. There was a roster move that Washington made earlier today that I think bodes well potentially for Gabe Taylor. They released Trey Rucker, one of the undrafted free agents that they brought in at the safety position. So to get cut already after not really being in-house that long, maybe says something about the way Gabe looked or how another safety looked. I don't know, honestly. I know with Gabe Taylor, he's got decent speed for the position. Obviously, he's got the pedigree. I just don't know a whole lot about him as a prospect, if I'm being, you know, 110% with you. Now, I wish all the best for him. I hope he's able to make it. He is extremely undersized, though, for the position. Like, he's not a big cat. He's 5'10", 190. Not the biggest cat at all, but if you've watched some of his highlights over the past, you know, couple of years during his time in college, he's not scared. He'll come down, he'll hit you. You just wonder how a guy of that size ultimately transitions to the National Football League. But to answer your question, I don't know what type of chance he's got at making the team. I would not count on it. It's the best way that I would put it.
Thanks a lot, Linnell. Keep up the good work, bro.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you, man. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. We'll take a quick timeout. We come back, we will let you hear from Trey Amos, the defensive back that was drafted by the Washington Commanders in the first round, and we'll talk about the cornerback position coming up here. All of a sudden, a year ago to the day, I was scared out of my mind about Washington and their personnel at the cornerback position. Fast forward to Mother's Day of 2025, cornerback may be one of the strongest position groups on this entire team. Talk more about the DB room next. 1-800-636-1067, the number. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. Taking up to 1 p.m. Eastern time, 1:05 p.m. Eastern time, rather, if we get you geared up for Nationals baseball, game number 3, looking to avoid the series sweep against the St. Louis Cardinals. Mackenzie Gore on the bump. First pitch set for 1:35. Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler get you warmed up at 1:05. I just quote tweeted a tweet from the Browns social media account. Shedeur Sanders with a moon ball in their 11-on-11 work from earlier today. And I was talking about this earlier as I was on the Infinity Sports Network, and you were able to hear that here locally in D.C. as well. Shedeur Sanders is in a great spot. I really do think from a scheme fit, there was not a better fit for him than playing in Kevin Stefanski's timing-based offense. Because when he is on time, I mean, it's nobody in college football over the past two seasons that has thrown a prettier football than Shedeur Sanders. I think he's going to have a super long career in the National Football League. And I also think with him, maybe doesn't happen in the first month of the season, but I think he ends up starting the most games for Cleveland next year. My confusion that I do have, though, with the Browns is, why did you select Dillon Gabriel? There's no way a talent evaluator watches the tape and goes, yeah, Gabriel greater than Sanders. No way. No way. But guess what? That's Cleveland's problem, not ours here in Washington, because we have Jaden Daniels. And we took a lot of calls on this yesterday. CBSSports.com ranked him as the number one quarterback in the NFL post-draft. I immediately called poppycock. Recency bias on full display. But it goes to show you the vibes are sky high here in Ashburn. Excuse me, not here in Ashburn. Here in Washington. Yesterday in Ashburn, we got to see the rookies out at rookie minicamp. And one guy that I'm super excited to see how he flows into this defense is Trey Amos, the second-round pick out of Ole Miss. Transferred out of Alabama. Was a good starter last year at Ole Miss. Really good in press man coverage. Good ball skills. I think watching him, I can't wait to see him up close in person. If he can win the outside starting cornerback job opposite Marshon Lattimore, and it gives you that luxury to kick Mikey Samuels still back inside to the slot, I think this defense is a hell of a lot better. Same question I asked for Connolly, I'll ask about Trey Amos as well. Would it be a disappointment out there to Commanders fans if he does not start right away? Because that cornerback room, all of a sudden, will pressure make diamonds or bust pipes? There's going to be hella competition in that defensive backs room, specifically at corner. You have now got five guys that I can trust to go out and start for you. Mikey Sainristil, still. Marshon Lattimore, Trey Amos, Noah Igbinoghene, Jonathan Jones. I'm comfortable with all five of those cats. Your depth at that position compared to what it was a calendar year ago is night and day. And for all of us that are concerned about Washington's pass rush, you know what's the key to unlocking that pass rush? Them having more time to rush the passer and work. I think with your improved cornerback room, that may ultimately be the case. But Trey Amos, to me, is the key to unlocking this thing, because if he can provide the chops and show he's got the chops on the outside, I think you've got a real chance to diversify your defense and allow guys to move around a little bit. Trey Amos had his first NFL practice over this past weekend. He spoke to the D.C. media yesterday after day number two of rookie minicamp.
Said being positive and, you know, everything will work out for itself.
Is it still a little surreal, or have you kind of sunken into the day-to-day now?
It really just happened today, just now. I was like, man, I'm really here. So just got to keep on having that great mindset and, you know, just keep on being where my feet are.
Last year, Mike Sanders still came in here and had a heck of a first season for a defensive back. So seeing what he did last year, how excited does that make you for what you can come here and do with Washington?
Yeah, you know, it's going to be real exciting. You know, I'm going to be able to, you know, learn from his footsteps and learning his tools, learn how to communicate, and just being a sponge, you know, just soaking up all types of information. But yeah, really looking forward to it.
To kind of play on that, Marshon Lattimore is a Pro Bowl corner, and he's a physical corner. Do you see a little bit of your game in his game?
You know, everybody's game is different, but, you know, you can still learn from it. And, you know, just keep on getting all the knowledge you can. And, you know, being where he at, I'm looking forward to, you know, learning from him, you know, being in the same meetings and just seeing how everything rolls and just being confident, you know. So.
Trey, after you were drafted, there were some reports that came out that you had a back issue that caused you to fall off some teams' boards. I'm just wondering what you made of those reports, and really, most importantly, how's your health? How's your back?
Everything's good. You know, I'm out here still competing, practicing every day. So really no, you know, signs.
Hey, Trey. Talk a little bit about, when you look at the cornerback room now with all of those guys, that Mikey Lattimore, Jonathan Jones, what do you add to that room?
What do I add to that room? I feel like as a group, we can all build off each other. So, you know, just being a great teammate, you know, helping each other out, just learning from each other, just building that chemistry. I feel like that could really just build our DB group and, you know, a whole different level.
Trey, what did you learn about being at different places that may help you come into a new place and make a transition to the NFL?
Just learning to, you know, adjust. You know, every place is different, but, you know, you still got to, you know, get to know people, just be yourself. So I feel like that's the biggest lesson from, you know, jumping from.
And I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. A little bit about from the classroom to the field and everything. What have you learned in the classroom early on right now?
Say it again.
What have you learned in the classroom as you start to learn the playbooks and everything and then taking it out on the field of play?
I feel like I learned, you know, big on note-taking. Note-taking is a big thing for me. So getting that down pack and, you know, transitioning, you know, out there on the field really helped me get out the classroom and really seeing the whole visual and learning what I studied and just going out there and just making plays.
Trey, I'm sure that you had thoughts, you had feelings, you knew that you would make it to this level, probably from once you were in middle school, high school at least. What's it like, though, when you put that helmet on? You knew that you were a pro, you knew that you had made it to this level. What was that moment like for you?
Man, it was just like, it was special, you know. Been having this dream since, you know, little kid, and finally here, you know, just want to keep on producing, keep on, you know, just being myself. What got me here, just keep on evolving, like I always say. So I don't want to think too high, think too low. Just keep everything chill, and, you know, everything go play out for itself, and just keep God first.
And I don't know if you know this, but this Washington Commanders community, number one, the fan base is super strong. A lot of them are really excited for you to come out here and make an impact. Mm-hmm. I wonder what your message is to that fan base that's really excited to see you come out here and to make an impact.
Just ready, you know, just ready. Can't really say too much. I'm just ready to go out there, keep on competing, being with the guys, you know. Really appreciate the fan base and everything. So, everything's going to be, you know, good. So, yeah.
Just one quick follow-up on the back question. I mean, do you expect to have any limitations or to really deal with it much as the season goes on?
What?
Regarding your back, the report about your back, do you expect to have any limitations or really deal with it much as the season goes on?
Nah, like I said before, you know, I'm out there doing everything. So, you know, I'm practicing, competing still. So, you know, everything is in a great mindset, great, you know, direction.
Cool. And you talked about Marshawn Lattimore and Sanders Hill. What is your process for getting that communication down pat with the guys you're playing alongside?
You know, that's just film study, getting extra work with the coaches, seeing what things I need to work on, just finding ways to, you know, keep on growing, physically and, you know, mentally. So from the neck up, and you know, everything will be good.
Cool. Thank you.
Question, but can you share a bit about when you step on the field, what is the energy level that you bring, or how do you describe your game? What do opponents need to be looking out for when you get out there?
Really, I don't bring much energy, but, you know, I keep everything relaxed, calm, everything chill, and, you know, once I'm on the field, helmet on, everything's just like, you know, zones out, and I'm just worried about, you know, my assignment, and, you know, I'm just going out and, like, backyard football. Everything just, you know, disappears when I'm on the field.
And did you have a chance to check out the Commanders at all last season in terms of just watching a game or anything? And what was your takeaway from what this team did last year?
Man, like, I had watched some games, especially in the playoffs, and it was just like a great, you know, good setting. And, you know, I want to build to that too. I want to come in, you know, be a good, you know, team player, just help to grow. Like I always do, and yeah.
All right, thanks, Trey.
No problem. Appreciate you.
Big expectations for Trey Amos. The one thing that I don't even know if I should call it a concern. The one thing that I worry about a little bit with him, only one full year of starting against legit competition. Last year at Ole Miss, played sparingly, maybe two maybe an inaccurate way to describe his time at Alabama, but was not a regular starter out in Tuscaloosa. So we will see. I think he's got the right mental makeup, though, and the right competitive spirit to be a damn good corner here. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll continue to slow walk 105 as we get you geared up for Nats baseball. They wrap up the series against St. Louis coming up this afternoon. Looking to avoid the series sweep. It is Mackenzie Gore on the bump for the Washington Nationals. First pitch of that one set for 135. When we come back, though, more from Commanders rookie minicamp. Let's hear from the head coach of the Burgundy and Gold, Dan Quinn. That's next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
1-800-636-1067, the number. You can tweet at me as well. It is at NELL_BTP. Taking it up to 105 as we get you geared up for Nats baseball. They look to avoid the series sweep against the St. Louis Cardinals. Mackenzie Gore gets the start on the mound for D.C. Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler get you warmed up at 105. First pitch set for 135. You can hear all the action right here on The Fan. A couple more items to get to before we get out of here. Our guy DC in DC wants to chime in. He's going on DC. Damn, DC. Wind your windows up.
Hey, I got you, brother. I got you.
About to
hey,
say,
how
man.
How you doing today, man?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. How you doing?
I'm excellent, bro. First, I want to say happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there.
Yes, sir.
We love you dearly. Brothers, friends, family, husbands. Linnell, I hope you're taking your mom to Feisty Crab today. I hope you're taking
it. Man, I actually went to Feisty Crab the last time I received a check from my establishment here. I'm overdue for some Feisty Crab.
Okay.
I'm for sure overdue for some Feisty Crab.
But yeah, man, I want to talk about a dynamic, because speaking of Trey Amos, I want to talk about a dynamic that we haven't talked about much, but it's the youthful energy and then the savvy veteranship. And then when I called in and I got to thinking about it, even with the youthfulness and the savvy veteranship at every position, you can look at it like Marshawn Lattimore, a veteran, he fiery, he come with that energy. But then they also signed Jones, that's more of a quiet, calm leader. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? If you look at every position, it's like that all over. You got Louvu, that's hype and energy. And you got Bobby Wagner, that's that calm quietness. And then you got Jordan McGee, and it's Moreno is going to be part of that. Like, I'm looking, they did a real good job of that. And I know we always look at that RAS score and stuff like that, but they built it with vets and youthfulness. And I think that combination is really going to help the youth get their play up to par and keep the level of the vets pushing themselves, you know what I'm saying, because of that energy that they can bring.
So the one thing that I continue to think about when it comes to the secondary here, if you're Washington, right, is there an odd man out at corner that moves to safety at some point? Because you got five guys. They're probably only going to keep six DBs. We know who five of them are, right? We know Noah Igbinoghi is going to make it. We know Jonathan Jones is making it. We know Mikey's making it. We know Trey Amos is making it. We know Marshawn Lattimore is making it. So really it's going to be like four or five guys fighting for that cornerback six spot. Do they move one of these guys to safety? Because I look at strong safety as
who will be moved to safety out of those guys, though? I think we got quite a few safeties, too. I mean, again, Moreno is the wild card, but then we got Owens from last year, which I think he's going to make a statement this year. Which guy do you think you could see moving to safety out of those guys?
Honestly, I don't know.
We got depth now, LaVey.
We do.
We got healthy competition. Like, we got to love this. I know we're not used to this, but this is how you build championship teams. And people may not get moved. They might end up on the practice squad, or they may have to end up playing somewhere else. You know what I'm saying? Even though it's names or people we used to, but that's what they built on this team. And I like it, man. I love it. I mean, we got to, because it's going to show up even more.
I hope it does. Now that I'm thinking about it, I don't know who I'd move to safety. Honestly, I do think your point is taken. I was saying this before we got started. Like, this time 12 months ago, the cornerback room was probably the weak link on the football team. Now I look at it as one of the strengths. So how quickly you can turn a position group around. DC, I appreciate you as always, man. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Likewise,
brother.
Man. Have a great day, buddy.
Yes, sir. You too. 1-800-636-1067. Yeah, DC brings up a good point, and we already had hit on it. Like, the depth of your cornerback room, I think, is greatly improved. You now think about it. Last year, Washington, and it's a credit to Dan Quinn and the coaching staff and the management of the players that this didn't happen. The injury bug didn't hit Washington too hard last year. I would think it's one of those things that vary by year. I would think this year you don't have as good of injury luck as you've had in years past, but who knows? Who knows? 1-800-636-1067. John is in Washington. Once time, man. What's going on, John?
Hey, what's going on, man?
What's going on, brother? How you doing?
I'm doing well. Happy Mother's Day to all the beautiful mothers out there.
For sure.
I also wanted to say, man, you're doing a great job, man. I mean, I hate to say proud, but man, you're doing wonderful, man. You're doing a great job.
I appreciate you.
But going back to the quarterback room, if you think about it, we had St. Jude last year and Emmanuel Forbes, man. That was the two worst combinations you could have had on any football field. And the fact that, you know, we have Trey Amos and Lattimore, and, you know, you switch Samuel back inside, it's like you said earlier, that can't do nothing but help your pass rush.
Right.
And I think the way that Joe Witt and Dan Quinn, the way that they scheme up the pass rush, I mean, maybe you don't need that guy. It would be nice to have, but maybe you don't need that guy that could just do it one-on-one or whatever like that, because even when they were in Dallas, they were able to scheme up blitzes that were able to get home to the quarterback. So that's what I'm looking forward to, and that's what I'm excited about.
John, I appreciate the call as always, but I think you hit it right on the head. They've revamped that room, and I do think scheming up the pass rush by way of the pen is something that happens a lot more often than maybe we want to give it credit for as well. I appreciate the call as always, man. 1-800-636-1067. Last year in free agency, I think after free agency ended, there were your couple of multi-year deals that were given out, but it felt like there wasn't a whole lot of excitement around some of the one-year deals that were given out. But there were certain pups that really capitalized on their one-year opportunity here in Washington. The guy that comes to mind first for me is Olamide Zaccheaus and Noah Igbinoghene, two guys that weren't really expecting a lot out of them when they were signed. But now that they've been brought in and you saw them last year, they outkicked their coverage, so to speak. I say all that to say this. Who is this year's version of Olamide Zaccheaus and Noah Igbinoghene? Which free agent that Washington brought in, which under-the-radar signing do you think ultimately pays dividends and has a much bigger impact on this football team? 1-800-636-1067. Hank is in Brandywine. What's going on, Hank?
Hey, buddy. I just want to comment on the previous call. Said he's exactly right about depth being how you bring in championships. But unfortunately, some of these youngins got to prove themselves before we say we got depth.
That's very true.
But I like the direction the team is heading in, and I trust in the new ownership and the new general manager, and I think like with the injuries, he said it is some luck, and he's right. But I think maybe because we got rid of the old regime, I think maybe.
Well, no. Hey, Hank. I continue to say it. It ain't no luck about the injury situation. If you look at the way they even ramped up starting at training camp, their first practice at training camp was 40 minutes. They ramped their way up. There was a plan. Yeah, there was a plan in place.
Better health care.
Exactly. There was a plan in place. Well, I'm sure. I like the way you put that. The Commanders have better health care under Josh Harris because Josh Harris got a good job. Take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll take your calls on who is this year's version of Olamide Zaccheaus and Noah Igbinoghene. We'll take your calls and I'll give you my thoughts next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
1-800-636-1067, the number. You can tweet at me as well. It's at N-E-L-L underscore BTP. We'll take you up to 105 before we hand things over to Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler. Get you warmed up for Nats baseball. Looking to avoid the series sweep. The Nats news that we gave you a couple of segments ago. Arlene Susanna going to be limited from throwing for at least the next 2 weeks after suffering a grade one UCL sprain. So not good news for the second best prospect in the national system. So definitely sending him some well wishes as he, you know, tries to work his way back. But tough break for the old Washington Nationals. Want to keep things on the Commanders here real quick while we got some time. Who is going to be this year's Olamide Zaccheaus? Who is going to be this year's Noah Igbinoghene? And I think, I've had one guy that I've mentioned continue to look at Dietrich Wise, a free agent pass rusher from the New England Patriots, Super Bowl champion. I think he has a real, real opportunity. Real opportunity to have an immediate impact on this football team. Now, everyone continues to be like wary of the pass rush situation. How is Washington going to generate pass rush? Will they be able to get after the quarterback next year? I think when we talk about this Commanders defensive front and the need for an edge, I continue to believe that need for edge is not because Washington can't get after the quarterback. That's not at all what it is. That need for an edge rusher is because Washington, since week 8 of 2022 or 2023, haven't been able to set the edge. Stopping the run. Like, that to me is why there should be a clamoring from the fan base about an edge. Not because you're worried about pass rush juice. I'm going to tell you who's going to be the leading sack getter next year for the Washington Commanders. Who my money is on to be the leading sack getter next year for Washington. It's Dorrance Armstrong. Dorrance Armstrong led this team in pressures a season ago. Dorrance Armstrong, one of the few multi-year contracts that were given out last offseason. And if you watch the way he played in the playoffs and the way that he played once he returned from injury, very clear and obvious, he could play. Very clear and obvious that he could play. The question that I have is Washington able to get pressure routinely with four, or is it a situation where they're going to have to blitz? Last year, Dorrance Armstrong, think about this, give you another. Dorrance Armstrong played in only 16 games. I don't even think that's accurate. There's no way. Okay, they're counting the postseason for him as well. If you're just looking at the regular season for Dorrance Armstrong, he missed time last year with the ankle injury. I think he suffered that against, or was it an ankle or was it a rib for Dorrance Armstrong? One or the other. And he got hurt against Baltimore, and he ultimately had to miss some time. Last year, during the regular season, Dorrance Armstrong didn't play every week. And I think, so he missed the Panthers game. He was back against Chicago. Okay, so he only ended up missing a week. Still, despite him missing time, he led the team in pressures a season ago. I think he's got the opportunity to put up similar numbers again. Hopefully it translates to him getting more sacks on this Commanders defense as well. So we'll see ultimately how that plays itself out. Simulcast is ending. Over on our sister station, the Team 980, you will lose us coming up here momentarily. But make sure you keep it locked on the Fan. I'll ride with you until 105 before Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler get you warmed up for the series finale of Nats and Cardinals. We'll wrap this show up next here on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.